now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
My name is Roland. The program is called Shedding Shackles. Today I would like to talk about the consolations of God. You know, we're always looking for consolations and for pleasure and for assurance and reassurance for our body and for our ego. And I would like to suggest that if you no longer look for consolations from outside, that then you could find and receive consolations from God. Thomas A. Kempis said something along those lines in his book, The Imitation of Christ, which is the most widely read devotion of all time. He said, if we weren't looking for so many consolations from the outside, and so if we weren't always looking for pleasure, fulfillment, and relief, and excitement, comfort for our body, for our ego, then we might receive spiritual nourishments of the soul from God. So I guess you say spiritual nourishments. I don't know what that could be. Well, you know why you don't? Because you're totally externalized and totally fused to the flesh. That's the reason. Now, it's not your fault. It's because of what's been done to you, because of the traumas that you've undergone. No one was there to guide you properly. You sense, don't you, that life is more than just eating and drinking? You know that's true. You know there has to be more to life. And so, let's talk about that. Let's talk about consolations from God. Now, a good way to begin is to say something that at first you won't understand. You won't understand it as being a consolation, but if you lend an ear and thoughtfully ponder it, you might see that it could be a consolation, a very beautiful one. Christ, in the Beatitudes, when he gave his famous Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon, the greatest speech ever given in the history of the world, Christ said, blessed are they who mourn their wrongs, for they shall be comforted. Now, you say, what is mourn their wrongs? Why would that be so good? Well, I'll tell you why. I will tell you why in this program. So listen up. Listen up, and your eyes might be opened. The veil will be opened, and you will understand. So let's talk about what Christ meant when he said, blessed are they who mourn their wrongs. Well, here's the thing. In order to mourn your wrongs, you have to see that what it is that you've been doing that's wrong. You have to see it. And then when you see it, then if you have an attitude of not wishing to escape from it, of not wishing to deny it, not wishing to maintain your pride, not wishing to avoid the humbling of it, if you're willing to just see your wrong and not escape from that seeing and bear the little bit of pain. You know, let's say you have a toothache and you have to go to the dentist, and the dentist said, well, we have to pull that tooth out. Well, when he pulls the tooth out, it doesn't feel good. Okay, you have to bear a little bit of pain, but it's good because then what was wrong has been fixed. And so it's a good pain in that it leads to health again, you see? And so likewise it is if you could mourn your wrongs. Now, in order to mourn your wrongs, you have to see that what you've done is wrong. And what's wrong with what you have done? If you don't see what's wrong, how could you? What's the point in being sorry? And that's where the light from God comes in. What you know in your heart, what's known as your conscience, your intuition. It's the light from God in which you see your wrong and in which you can be repentant. We'll talk more about this very, very important topic after this announcement. Please listen carefully. Did you know that I have over 900 video YouTube lectures? My most popular YouTube lecture is Never Complain, Never Explain. So check it out at youtube.com or sheddingshackles.com. Hi, this is Roland. I just wanted to say a special hello and welcome and express my gratitude to listeners in beautiful Southland and Inland Empire, San Bernardino, Yucaipa, Redlands, Hemet, Riverside, Palm Springs, Banning, Temecula, Moreno Valley, and all points around there. Thank you all for listening. Life is supposed to be happy and sweet, an adventure, a wonderful, wonderful adventure. And it may once again become a wonderful adventure for you, and brightness will be restored and joy. Something like what you once knew when you were a little child. But in order to rediscover it and experience it, this joy, you must see what your mistakes are. Okay? You must come to a full understanding of your mistakes, and that's what I'm helping you to, hopefully, to do. Yes, that's right. And today I'm talking about consolations from God. Now, before I continue with the topic, I just want to make a little aside, which I think you'll be able to relate to. How many of you have had someone give you phony consolation or phony reassurance or assurance? They say, oh, that's all right, and everything's going to be okay. And see, they're saying that, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't change the reality of whatever it is that you're dealing with. And you know that they mean well, but you also know, don't you, that it doesn't really help? Or how about when you were a kid and something didn't work out? Like maybe, I'll give you an example. You had to take a test, let's say. You had to take a test. There was a test coming up and you hadn't studied for it. And for whatever reason, you weren't going to do good. And so you pretended you were sick, even though you weren't. I'm just making something up. So you pretended you were sick, even though you weren't. So you ducked the test. In other words, you didn't show the honor and the courage to go ahead and take the test or tell the teacher that you need help or whatever it was that you could have done if you had the courage. But you didn't have the courage, so you ducked out by pretending you were sick. And then someone came along and said, oh, that's okay, you poor thing, you can't... They can't expect you to take a test, you poor, poor thing. Someone offered you false consolation. Maybe your mom did, or your sister came along and or some friend came along and they. But it didn't console you, did it? It didn't restore you to honor. It didn't restore you to courage. It didn't restore you to principle. It didn't restore you to your conscience. So the false consolation, all it did was to try to help you to continue to be separated from your conscience, from what you knew in your heart. See? Now, that's what happens to us in life. These consolations. See, it's one thing to eat. What's the old expression? We're supposed to eat to live and not live to eat. Have you heard that? You see the difference between eating to live and living to eat? Well, so it's one thing to eat when you're hungry and to have a drink of water or something when you're thirsty. It's one thing to have someone give you an honest appraisal for your work. You did a good job, or you did okay, but you could have done better. Honest appraisal. There's one thing to receive that, and it's another thing to receive phony praise. It's not true. Oh, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen. What you did was the most wonderful thing. Well, see, that's phony. And it's one thing to do something wrong and then just bear a little bit of pain of it and ponder what you did and resolve that from now on you're going to do better. That's one thing. But it's another thing to accept false consolation from your friends and said, hey, don't worry about it. Here, have a marijuana cigarette. It's cool. It's all good. See, it's false consolation. So you got the idea, don't you? But can you see how we can use everything as a false consolation? When you're not completely aligned with what you know in your heart, when you're not completely aligned with your flowing from within, from your center, spontaneous and living and moving and having your being in an intuitive, spontaneous, principled way, then sensing that, sensing the anxiety of it, the pain of it, the being troubled in the spirit over it, is. But if you reach for any kind of consolation, a distraction, a magazine, your iPhone, a drink, a marijuana cigarette, friends, partying, music to serenade you and pretend, make you think that everything's fine, then you're using those to separate you from your conscience. But you're also being separated from the consolations of God. See, God offers his consolation and his reassurance and his approval when you remain close to your conscience. Then you get his approval. Hi, everyone. This is Roland. I just want to take a moment to introduce myself. Well, I've been around 28 years now on the radio. I'm just a man with a microphone. I don't work for the station. I don't get paid by the station. I don't get a salary. I don't have an organization. It's just me. And that's how I help people. That's why I've done this all these years. I just want to help people, okay? Well, I'm a lot closer to 70 than I am to 65, so I'll give you an idea that I've been around for a while, okay? But I understand some basic things, but more importantly, I know how to recover from them. Some basic things that go wrong, like resentment, hostility, and unfinished business, and not finding the purpose of your life, okay? Getting sidetracked, and conforming to other people, and then finding out you missed the boat. So I know how to recover from that kind of stuff. And I know the answer is spiritual, and it has something to do with God, and it has something to do with Christ. See, but here's the thing. Just hearing about religion, hearing about God, hearing about Jesus, it's not enough. You have to experience him in your innermost being. And what's blocking you right now from experiencing him is undoubtedly resentment and being lost in your thoughts, lost in your daydreams, and lost in your worries and doubts and fears. And so you have to learn how to stand back from those so you can get clear of them, okay? It's like coming up out of being under the ocean, coming up to the surface, and there's the blue sky and the puffy clouds, and you take a wonderful, deep breath of fresh air, okay? That's what you need to do to come out of those daydreams that become nightmares. Rise above them and then find reality, the blue sky and the puffy clouds and where the birds are singing. And that's why I've made a little meditation, too. I've made a little meditation that has been very, very helpful to some people. It's been very helpful to me. And I think could be just what you need if you really and truly want to get better, okay, and find out the purpose for your existence and find out just where you've been going wrong and what's been blocking you from finding all the good things that life can hold. We're talking today about being a friend of your conscience. And we're talking about how when you accept consolation from things, like I said, it's okay to eat something when you're hungry. And it's okay to have a modest enjoyment of it, a little enjoyment of it. God created it to have a little enjoyment. But when you make too much of it, when it becomes too important, or when it becomes an escape, when it becomes false love. For example, the more you resent other people, the more you resent others, the more empty you feel. And the more empty you feel, the more you crave false love from the world, and from food, and from drink, and from distractions. So it becomes a vicious cycle, resenting other people, then feeling empty and unloved, and then craving false love from the world, and then resenting them for their false love, and then feeling empty again. You see? We'll take a little break now, and we shall return shortly. The program is called Shedding Shackles. Did you know that my most popular book is The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage, a spiritual and practical look at relationships? My favorite chapter is How to Forgive and Forget. You haven't forgotten, you haven't really forgiven. The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Check it out at Amazon.com or SheddingShackles.com. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking today about one of the great secrets to life. One of the great secrets is learning to refind your calm center of dignity. And when you do, conflict ceases, and you become a friend of conscience, a friend of God. Then you move forward to meet new adventures with honor, with virtue, with courage, with joy, in a sense of excitement about what wonderful things that the future might hold for you, which you are ready to meet because you're connected. You are connected to the virtue, the courage, the strength, the wisdom that you will need to meet these moments. And when those moments are well met, then you receive God's consolation. Now let's return to what Christ said. This is very important. In the Sermon on the Mount, Christ said, "Blessed are they who mourn their wrongs, for they shall be comforted." I said that you need to see what you did was wrong. See, if you don't see what you did was wrong, then how can you mourn your wrong if you don't see that it's wrong? Or if you don't even know that you did wrong? Or if what you think was wrong wasn't really wrong? See, that's why you need God's light. What you need is discernment. What you need is your intuition for many reasons. Because, for example, people on the outside will make you think you did something wrong when you didn't. See, suppose, for example, you point something out about someone. You say, "Hey, you know, your shoelace is untied." And then they get angry. They said, "Well, who are you? It's none of your business. Go mind your own business." See, so they're angry at you. And they try to make you feel wrong for simply telling the truth. You see. Well, so it can be all confusing, but you don't want to be confused anymore. You want to clearly see your wrong and be repented of it. And that you can do in God's light of truth. When you see in your heart that you were impatient with your child, or you resented your mom, or you were phony with someone, when you really see it in God's light, then you can be sorry. And when you're sorry, that's all God asks. A little bit of, he asks for you to be sorry, just a little bit. And then he forgives you. And then peace, you feel a peace of mind and peace of heart. And the sky is blue and the birds are singing sweetly and life is good when God forgives you. Hi, this is Roland. Are you interested in improving your relationship with your partner? Or how about improving your relationship with your kids if communication is not so good? Okay, and then how about getting rid of hurt feelings and misunderstandings and so on? Well, then you really ought to read one of my books about relationships and about marriage. And one of the ones that I don't talk about a lot, I should talk about more, is my book called Putting the Forever Back in Love. Oh, what a wonderful book. It's over 300 pages, Putting the Forever Back in Love. I talk about how to improve your relationship, what to do if your wife asks you to leave, how to forgive and forget, okay? How to stay married for a long time and live happily ever after, how to develop character and learn to bear suffering and grow from it, okay? And how to have understanding when you deal with other people, okay? And how not to judge your husband so much and how not to resent your wife. Well, may I recommend you get Putting the Forever Back in Love? Just visit SheddingShackles.com or TalkToAPastor.org and you can preview it for free. It's also on Amazon. Putting the Forever Back in Love. I think you'll really enjoy it. Welcome back. Very special program. I've been on the air now for, this is my 29th year I'm just a man with a microphone. I buy the airtime from the station to bring you this message. And some people benefit very, very, very greatly from the message. So now, do you see that the world has misled you? See, there's very little understanding out there and very little real love. What you need is just, well, you need someone to give you a little bit of tutoring so you can see what your error has been. But the world doesn't want you to see your error. The world is always there to comfort you, to pat you on the back and tell you you're a great person, to give you something to study, to give you another goal, to give you some kind of marijuana or some alcohol or some music, some entertainment, a movie, some excitement, partying, vacationing, watching sports on television, and buying bigger and bigger screen televisions, more music, more 24/7 entertainment. People walk around with earbuds in their ear, listening to music all the time. Okay? So what is it offering? It's offering escape. It's offering a false, a velvety dark reassurance for your soul to take you away from what you know in your heart. Maybe when you were a little child, maybe you were angry at your mommy or you were mean to your brother and you knew it in your heart. You knew it. See, perhaps you went off by yourself and you reconciled with your conscience. See, little did you know that you were reconciling with God at that time. He gives you conscience. See, God doesn't give animals conscience. He doesn't give animals intuition. Animals have instinct. That's what he gives them, and it's very, very good. But humans, we need something else because we have an awareness. We have a consciousness. We have a soul. He gives us our intuition. It's a great gift. It's a great gift that he only gives to human beings. And you were very close to it when you were a little child. But you became separated from it. Now do you see what the world, the consolations of the world, what they want to do is separate you from your intuition, separate you from your conscience, separate you from your true lodestar. And how do they do it? They make you angry. They make you upset. You become overwhelmed by emotions. They're mean. They're cruel. They're confusing. Your emotional reaction separates you from your inner ground of good. And then once you have been separated, then you crave reassurance and assurance, and you look to them, and then they offer false love. So it's cruelty and false love. Cruelty and false love. And those two separate you from your conscience, which is your closest link to God. And they also separate you from intuition and from courage and from patience and from wisdom and from understanding and creativity and all the good that comes from your intuition. That's what they do with their cruelty and their confusion and their false love. For example, the child that has been emotionalized by cruelty and false love then craves reassurance from the world and becomes vulnerable to the peer group. So there you are with the peer group, and the peer group is doing something. They're being silly. They're being naughty. They're taking drugs. They're doing foolish things. If you don't go along with them, then you stick out like a sore thumb, and they make you feel like you're not part of the group. They won't accept you. You won't be accepted. And so you go along with them, sheepishly. But then afterwards you have conflict with your conscience, don't you? You have conflict. But then, because you don't want to, or don't know how, to bear a little bit of conflict. See, all you need to do is not resent it. Don't resent the little bit of conflict. Don't resent your conscience. Don't resent knowing what's right and realizing that you didn't do what was right. You failed somehow. You failed to live up to principle or to be honorable. And the whole world, all your friends and your boyfriends and your girlfriends and the media and the entertainment, and they're all trying to, see, get you to step away from your conscience and go along with them. And when you do, then where are you going to look for consolation? Where are you going to look for comfort and reassurance? You're going to have to look to them because you won't get it from conscience. Christ said, no man can serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other, or love the other and hate the one. See, you can't ride two horses at the same time. So, when you're separated from God and His right way, and your conscience and your intuition from God, then you have to accept the consolations of the world. But the more you accept consolations you accept from them, you become more wrong, because it's wrong to accept phony consolation from people. So better to return to your conscience. And when you see that you've been impatient with someone or a little bit phony with them, and you feel a little bit of conscience over it, then just bear that. Bear that for a very short time, and that's how you become reconciled to conscience, and you receive the consolation of God. You receive His forgiveness and His love. You know, you really ought to try the meditation. If you like this program, if you hear something here that you've always yearned to hear, well, then the next step would be to get the meditation. Because it's so simple, but so important, because most people are lost between their ears. Most people are lost in worries, doubts, and fears, and all kinds of emotions, and upsets, and worries. And so, it'd be nice to come out of that. Come back to the present where the birds are singing. So go to SheddingShackles.com and look for the free meditation. Could do you a world of good. Christ said, "Blessed are they who mourn their wrongs, for they shall be comforted." Now you see that what mourning your wrongs means. It means being reconciled to what you know in your heart, reconciled to your conscience, reconciled to God. Most wonderful and beautiful thing. And life is good, and life is beautiful, and life is sweet. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.